perhaps we can look at 1 John chapter 4 again. While you're turning there, I'll just mention, I'm sure my brother mentioned these books 60 years in his service. And we're not in the book-selling business, but we do like to mention them because they're an excellent example of God's care and direction for one of his servants. And if you'd like one of the books, you can see me afterwards and you can look at it and I'll tell you the price of it. It has pictures of us when we're little children, so you have to promise not to laugh, but other than that, we'd be glad to share them with you. And I'd like to begin reading at the 7th verse of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen, and do testify, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. And we're not going to take any time to review the first part that we spoke about last time, other than to say that John and Paul particularly take and show us what we should be as saints of God, as Christians, as believers. A lot of what they preach is to the believer, as you know, if not all. We use a great deal of the verses from those passages for gospel verses, but nonetheless, the vast majority of it is directly preached to the believer. And that's what we have here in John. And we want to just go as we did last time, verse by verse. And the 7th verse opens by saying, Beloved. John uses that passage a number of times. He loved to remind you and I that we were loved of God. P.P. Bliss wrote that hymn. He heard that hymn sung, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And he loved that hymn, but he thought it was more important that God loved us. And so he wrote that song, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has written. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And so John writing says, because God loves us, we know also that the Lord Jesus loves us. I'm reminded of that in that favorite verse, I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because that's true, we ought to love one another. It does not say that you and I should love God. That is a gimme. That's a truth. If you really are loved of God, you love God. That's an automatic. According to the Word of God. You don't have to be taught to love God. If you've been saved by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of God sending His Son, you will love God. But it's not a sure thing that you'll love one another. A.P. Gibbs used to have a poem that said, to live in love with the saints above, oh, that will be grace and glory. But there's love to show to the saints below. That's a different story. Well, that's the way it is. We often find it hard to love one another. But you and I are encouraged to do that, to love one another. And he stresses the fact that love is of God. If my heart takes in the wonder of the truth, that God, knowing me, loves me. You know, if you look at your own heart and you realize that God loves you, he loves you just the same, regardless, surely his love in me would cause me to love my brothers and sisters. The Lord said that's how other people know that you are one of God's children. He says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. That's how we know. You see, we love the Lord first and always as we take him as Lord and Savior. For when we have left our love for others, when we've lost our love for Christ, when we've lost our love for others, we find out we lose our interest in the Word of God as well. You remember what the Lord said to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, in Revelation chapter 2? He said, thou hast left thy first love. Not lost it, but left it. They were still Christians, still on their way home to glory, still in the family of God, but they had left their first love. They didn't have that glow for Christ that they once had. And when you and I begin to not love one another, it's because we've lost that first love. You see, life is empty apart from love. And to know God's love, which should so fill one's heart that it overflows to others. To him, it has it right when he says, you and I are channels of the love of God. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. You remember the story of the prodigal son? You remember when he came home, the father pitched the big party for him? Interesting, when you read that story, the party never ended. Never tells about the party ending. It tells about it starting. I'm sure it did end. But you and I are going to have new things every day throughout the endless ages of eternity. When we get home to glory, it's never going to end. But at any rate, the party had started, and the son came home, and he asked the servants, what's going on? And they said that your brother has come home. And the father came out. And the brother never called his brother a brother. He said, thy son. In every case, he said, thy son. And then he said to the father, he said, I've always been here. This one went off. He took his money and went off. I've always been here. And you never gave me a party for me and my friends. And you remember what the father said to him. He said, you were ever with me. And all that I had was thine. All that I had was thine. You see, he had all the father's love and blessing all the time, and he never entered into it. And you and I, many times, we have all the Father's love and blessing, and we don't enter into it. But when we truly enter into it, then we can pass it on to others. Then we become a channel of that blessing to others. So you and I are encouraged to enter into the Father's love. Many times in the New Testament, we're encouraged to love one another. It's a sign that we know Him, that we're His children, when we love one another. Verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And here, of course, John is not speaking of natural love. He's speaking of God's divine love, that agape love. And I would remind you that the Word of God teaches you and I that God is love. The Bible tells us that God is just, but it doesn't say He's justice. The Bible tells us that God is kind, but it doesn't say He's kindness. But it does say that God is love. And since in Christ you and I have God's eternal love as manifested in us, in His Son, I should say, and as a result in us, flowing through us, if we don't manifest that love, it's because we know not God. If you don't manifest ever God's love, we have our times when we get out of fellowship, but if you don't manifest God's love, you're not one of God's children. That's just the way it is. That's exactly what it says in that 8th verse. He that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. And if you don't love, you don't know God. That's what it says. And the fact that you and I do know God proves that we're His, because that love will flow through you to others. Verse 9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." It says, since God is love, He can and must show His love. And this verse says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." It shows how He did just that. In sending His Son, the Savior, He showed the measure of His love. And you and I have that wonderful gospel message today. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's still the message that you and I preach. No matter what words we use, that's the message. God loved us and sent His Son. You remember the first commandment to His earthly people Israel was, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." They were to love God. Thou shalt love God. But in the day in which you and I live, we find out that it's reversed. God loves us. The Apostle John tells you over and over again that he was the apostle whom Jesus loved. He was impressed, not with how much he loved God, but he was impressed with how much God loved him. And as a result, because we know the love of God and are impressed with the love of God in our hearts, we find that we do not forget His love. Or should not forget His love. Unfortunately, sometimes in the busy times of life, we do forget that God loves us. But we need to return His love and be faithful to Him. Someone has suggested that a husband that is faithful to his wife most of the time is not faithful at all. The term worldly Christian is a contradiction. Billy Sunday said you might as well talk about a heavenly devil as a worldly Christian. There is no such thing if you're not true to the Lord. You remember the story that I think it was Rob Lindstedt told about a young fellow that went off into the service. He was in love with a girl. He came home and they thought maybe they'd get married. Then they decided maybe they should wait a while longer till he got out of the service. But he was only back about 2 months and he couldn't stand it. He came home. And he went to her house to surprise her, and she wasn't there. Her mother said she was out shopping. And so he waited. And she didn't come at 9, and she didn't come at 10. The stores had closed at 9. She didn't come at 11. Finally, at 12, she came driving up with a young fella, one person behind the wheel until they got out, and then there were two. And she came skipping up the walk, and she saw him standing on the steps. And she said, "I didn't expect to see you. I didn't expect to see you." She was engaged to this young man, and she's out with another. Well, you and I are betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we living for this world? Are we out with the world when we're betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's really what it's talking about here. And then in verse 10 it says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So the real measure of love is not our love to Him, but His love to us. And our verse reminds us that He didn't love us because we were lovely. He loved us when we were in our sins. That's when He loved us. We're still in our sins. And He says, "Herein is love." Herein is love, the verse says. Real love. It's God's divine redemptive love. It's a love that you and I can enter into and manifest to others because it flows through us. But it was divine love that caused Christ to take our place and suffer at Calvary's cross for you and I. And it is a sure knowledge of love that draws out, actually creates in your heart and mine our love for Him. Love is not measured by our love for Him, but the measure of His love does draw out our hearts to Him. It's His love, and it causes us to have our hearts drawn out in love in return. Verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And again, the apostle gives this logical conclusion as directed by the Spirit. If God loved us when we were unworthy, if God loved us when we were in our sins, if God loved us and saved us, surely we should love one another. We should love our brothers and sisters, and we should love the unsaved about us. Sometimes that thought escapes our mind in the hurry-up world in which we live. But it should occur to us every day. We should love as we have been loved. It can't be in any other way. You see, the only problem that keeps that from being true in your life and mine is what? Self. It's me. I get in the way. That's the reason I don't love as I should, because I want what I want. I want to do what I want to do. I want to have what I want to have. And I get my eye off of the fact that as a saint of God, I should love Him as He loved me. Well, if I love Him, how can I manifest that love? The only way I can manifest the love to Him is in what I do for others. He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so that's how we love. And then it says in verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. It's suggested that this verse should be compared with John 1:18, which says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Now you notice that both of them begin with the same phrase, no man has seen God at any time. Now in John 1:18, it quite plainly tells us that the Lord Jesus came in the world and He declared the Father unto us. That's what it tells us. But in our verse here, it points out the fact, no man has seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. It points out the fact that just as Christ came and manifested God's love, so now you and I, as the saint of God, we manifest God's love. That's what it's saying. As the gospel shows, our Lord Jesus is God's Son, come into the world to manifest the Father. So you and I, as Christians in the world today, that's our job, to manifest the Father. We're the only ones that can do it here in this world. And it's a wonderful thing when you realize that you have that privilege and you have that ability to manifest Christ here in this world. And He says that it's because of love. It's a real privilege by the grace of God to be able to show an unseen God to an unbelieving world. And we show this, the verse says, when we love one another. So God's love is made perfect in us and is a true blessing to those round about us. And the only way for us to manifest the character of God, for that's what's manifesting Christ, or the Christian character is the character of God. We have to have the character of God. You know, we live in a day today when everybody wants everything instantly. They want to push the thing on the computer and everything they want to know come up right away. And if it doesn't, they call the repairman. We want everything done instantly. We like to go fast, the 70, 80, 90 miles an hour on the turnpikes. We like to fly in the airplane, and the faster it gets there, the better we like it, and so forth. But you see, we can speed up those kind of things. We even have speed reading, where you can read a book in a tenth or a twentieth of the time you used to be able to read it. But there's no way to speed up experience. Experience comes one day at a time. That's the way you get experience. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, or trusting the promises of God, we could say, and hope maketh not ashamed. It must be seasoned, we're told in the Word. There's no way to grow mature for God overnight. Speed reading was never meant for Bible study. It will work in the Bible. You can try it. It will work in the Bible. And character like the oak does not spring up like the mushroom. You and I, if we want to get to be like Christ, we have to spend the time loving others. That's the way you do it. That's what John is telling us here. Verse 13 says, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And the verse says, we know that we dwell in him and he in us. And we know this, the fact that we know it, the reason that we know it, is because the Holy Spirit dwells in us to make it real. The Holy Spirit is spoken of as the earnest of our expectation. That's the down payment. That's the assurance that you're gonna get what you set out to get. And that's an everlasting knowledge of God, living with him throughout the endless ages of eternity. And the reason we know that that's so is because the Spirit of God, dwells in us. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And this verse would say that since our personal knowledge of him is so real, since our acceptance of him as our Savior is true in our life, since our peace and joy are so full, it causes us to realize that this is a blessing that others should enjoy. In our prayers tonight, more than one prayed for the unsaved. Some prayed for the families within this family, this assembly family of children and grandchildren that are unsaved. I pray for that every day. And you and I do that because we realize what a wondrous blessing it is to know Christ as our personal Savior. And as a result of that, we want it for others. Why would Brother Billy and Brother Happy go to the jail? Why would you go? It's a very discouraging work if you've never done it. I did some of it years ago. Very discouraging work. These fellows will tell you, yes, I accept Christ. And then the next thing you know, they're back in prison. They get out and they're back in prison. Very discouraging. But you go because God has so given you the joy of knowing Christ as your Savior. You want the whole world to know. You want others to know. That's the reason that you go. And that's what he's saying here. It causes us to realize that we want everyone to know the Savior that we know. Verse 15 says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. The text states that which is true of every born-again child of God, God abiding us, and us in God, is said to be the result of confessing Jesus as the Son of God. Although it's true that every believer, the text perhaps would suggest, that the more we confess him, that's true of every believer, but the more we confess him in word and in life, the more we're going to know the presence of the Lord. I think that's the thought of the verse. Now, you and I, having accepted Christ, particularly if we've been baptized, we've confessed him, haven't we? We've publicly confessed him. But the more in our life we confess him, the more we know the presence of his love and his care and his companionship. Vance Havner, that old Southern Baptist minister, he said, to some, Christianity is an argument. To many, it's a performance. But to a precious few, it's an experience. And that's what the apostle is saying here. In verse 15, when he says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Verse 16 says, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Notice that in verse 15, the abiding is reversed from here in verse 16. In verse 15, it is first his dwelling in us, and then our abiding in him. But in verse 16, it's our abiding in God, and then his abiding in us. As we see in verse 15, when we believe in him, we get the assurance of our salvation, that God has come into heart, and because of that, we're abiding in him for his power and his keeping. But as you and I grow in grace, we learn to rest in that assurance of his love and that power in our lives. We abide in him, we trust in him, we walk with him, we rest in him. And thus, in a very real and special way, now he abides in us. It is a matter of trust and growth in a practical way. This is what happens according to God's plan. As you and I rest in him, we grow in the things of God. Verse 17, herein is our love, made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. When it says, herein is our love made perfect, it's speaking of the fact that God's love has been made perfect in us. You and I have not come into perfection yet. Someday we're going to come into perfection in that coming day. But his love to us is perfect. His love has been made perfect in our behalf. It is that love that caused him to come and die for us. It was an everlasting love. It says we can have boldness in the day of judgment, for you and I have learned from God's word that when we're saved for time and eternity. You and I never need to fear judgment. We're never going to fear it. You remember the Lord in his invitation in John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The present is taken care of. You have everlasting life. The future is taken care of. Shall not come into condemnation. And the past is taken care of. We're passed from death unto life. You see, our acceptance of that work becomes our personal salvation. And a result of that, his perfect love, is seen as being made perfect in us. You see, you and I, as saints of God, have an eternal home. As a part of the family of God, you and I are assured of a place in heaven with him. So even now, we live in the blessed enjoyment of the fact that our sins are forgiven, that we're never going to be judged for those sins, and that we're on our way home to heaven. We speak of that many times. You could only do that by faith. Only a man of faith could write a hymn like, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather, over on the other shore, and when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. You can only write that in faith. You can only truly sing it by faith. How would you know? Nobody's come back to tell you. But you believe those things. Someone has said that a dog is at home in this world because it's the only world a dog is ever going to know. But you and I are not at home in this world. This world is not our home. We're not made for this world. We're made for a different world. We've been made for heaven. We may not choose it, but God made us for heaven. And then we see those words, as he is, so are we in this world. Not as he was, but as he is. We see that same term, you remember in 1 John 3:2, where it says, beloved, now are we sons of God, and does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Our text is telling us that we are not as he was in eternity past. He was God then, as he is now, and you and I are never going to be gods. We're not now gods, and we're never going to be gods. We're not as he was while he was here in this world. When he was here in this world, he lived a sinless, perfect life. You and I do not live a sinless, perfect life. We're not as he shall be in glory either. Robed in majesty and glory. You and I are still in this world. We're still in these old mortal bodies. But we are as he is. This is not referring to our personality. It's not referring to our conduct. It's referring to our position as believers. We are as he is simply because of what he did for us at Calvary. He took away all of our sins. As he has no sins, so we have no sins. While it is true we do sin from time to time, God sees us as not having sinned at all because of the work of Christ at Calvary's cross. He sees us having died with Christ and all of those sins forever put away. They're forever gone. And as he is perfect in the eyes of God, so are we in this world. It's a wonderful thing to realize that God sees us as already perfect. We don't see ourselves that way. It is true we get out of fellowship sometimes because we sin and we need to confess to get into fellowship, but we never get out of relationship. We're never out of the family because of the sins, because those sins were all paid for at Calvary's cross. Nothing that we do is a surprise to God as far as that's concerned.
So we see that God's love having been made perfect in us, we now live in the assurance of that love from day to day, and by God's grace and our yielded wills, we'll reflect the truth of our position in Christ. Not because we deserve it, but because He loves us. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, and perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Again, the apostle reminds us to look to Christ. He reminds us that in His love of God, you will know real power and joy and peace. He mentions that fear hath torment. How often in our life as a believer we suffer a torment, not terrible torment maybe, but we suffer torment simply because we do not rest or trust in Him. You remember the story of the lady in her 85th birthday, and they said, Grandma, what kind of a life have you had? And she said, I've had a life full of problems, most of which never happened. You see, we worry about all these things. The Lord says to us, take no thought, don't worry. But we do worry. And fear is a form of torment, as it were. And most of our worries are because we look at our cold hearts and what we can do instead of looking at His heart of love and seeing what He can do. Remember, His love was not perfected at Calvary. It was always perfect. But our belief in Him can and should be made perfect in us. It may not be perfect in this world, but it will be made perfect. Verse 12 says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. So there should be no fear in torment when we realize that God loves us. We love Him, we're told, because He first loved us. This wonderful statement that we so often quote, it suggested that the word Him should be left out. The thought not being that we love Him, but that we love fellow believers. As a saint of God, it's not hard to believe that we love Him. But when one thinks of what God did in sending His Son, how could we not love Him? 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. The Lord is coming. The Lord, not to love the Lord Jesus is an unpardonable sin. So we must love our Lord Jesus, but to love others. To love often unlovely men and women. That's the proof that we know. That's the proof that we're loved of Him. And that love is a part and parcel of our lives. Romans 5:5 says, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So we love not because they deserve our love, or even because they're lovable. But we love simply because God's love lives through us. God loves even the worst of sinners. So His same love flows through us, and thus we love. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? This verse is very often hard to understand. Surely we can love a loving God, even though unseen. But to love an unlovely brother that I can see, that's not so easy in my life or yours. And I'm sure that he or she feels the same about me that I may feel about them. What God is saying, if I do not love my brother, the love of God is not in me. God so loved me when I was unlovable and unloving. He saw me as you never can see me. And He loved me just the same. So if God's love is in me, I do not love because you deserve it, but because you belong to Him. And it is His love flowing through me to you. I love you because it is now my nature to love. And most importantly, I love you because I love Him. It is that love that causes me to love. And without that love for you, it's just simply not possible, not true, that I do not have that love for Him. Without the love for you, I do not have God's love. That's what this verse is saying. And verse 22 says, finally, in this commandment, have we from Him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. And he adds in this verse that the commandment says, he who loveth God, love his brother also. So we do it, not just because His love is in us, but we do it also because we're under orders to do it. It says it's His commandment to do it. You and I as His children should be marked with a character trait of obedience. So we love because we want to, and we love because we ought to. If you love me, keep my commandments. And He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Love, we're reminded in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 13, is that divine attribute that shall never perish. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The Apostle Paul would have, Apostle John rather, would have you, and God would have you to covet, to yield your will to Him, to allow it to flow through you to others. You and I have the opportunity to manifest God's love to others. And God, help us to do so. It really identifies you as being one of God's children, and it'll bring you joy if you love. God says the greatest of the gifts is love. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee for the thoughts that we've run through quickly. We thank Thee, our God and Father, that Thou hast made us to grow in grace and the knowledge of Thyself, to be changed moment by moment into Thy likeness, that we may be a blessing to those round about us. May we lay hold on these truths as we've shared them this evening. Now we ask again for the things that have been mentioned in prayer. Part us with Thy blessing. Commend these things into our heart. Give us a good night of rest. Take us to our homes in safety, and bless us in the morrow, if Thy Son be not come. We ask it all in His worthy and precious name. Amen.